Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Lovely weather here on the East Coast. Summer is arriving.
You're having good weather, did you say?
Yes, lovely summer weather is arriving.
Oh, well, we're having that here too.
Great.
Yeah. It may just, I don't know, it just kind of puts a spring in the old step, doesn't it? Just all the sunshine and pretty colors.
It's lovely. Makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too.
I have announcements here to start us off.
All right.
For an introduction to the art of vegetarian cooking and some flavorful experimentation with an enchilada recipe, sign up now for our next Zen Cooks workshop, Sunday, June 21st. Participants will enjoy a nourishing time for body, mind, and spirit, as well as support for the step-by-step preparation of a simple meal.
And wasn't it fun last time, Michael?
Yes, and delicious.
And delicious. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. I thought it was just a super fun workshop. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
That's great. Registration is now open for two of our most popular programs that begin new quarters July 15th. Reflective Listening Buddies is a powerful, compassionate way for participants to practice moment-by-moment presence for 30 minutes each week. And Keeping Commitments Buddies pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support in keeping the commitments we so often get talked out of doing by conditioning. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. Mm-hmm. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation on 5 minutes, please. And one topic is great. And Sherry, we are going to start tonight with an email question for you.
Aha.
Uh-huh. All righty, here we go. Dear Sherry, I'm making a process map about busyness. Busyness can and does happen almost any time, and as such, I'm having trouble making the process map specific in the way you did regarding concern over the basil plants. As I write this, my one thought is that busyness sometimes happens even when I've decided I'm doing 20 minutes of some specific task. Voices continue to say, oh, just do this Google search, or get some more tea, clean your mug, or whatever. Maybe I'm answering my own question here. Perhaps narrowing my investigation of busyness to that setting would be more likely to reveal details about how the busyness process happens. I think I'll look there, and as always, I welcome any thoughts from you, the guide. Gasho from a listener.
All right. Well, the first thing that strikes me is the difficulty is with the voices in the head.
Yes.
Right? So whatever I'm doing, the voice in the head is saying, do this other thing, or do one more thing, or do that instead, or whatever it is. So busyness it's almost like there isn't anything called busyness. There is just being jerked around by the voices in the head saying to do this or that or something else. So that's my take on it. What I'm going to do now is, because I was asked this question before, and that's how it wound up as an email, because the person who has this issue is not able to join us on Tuesday night, works on Tuesday night. So I knew we were going to have a question on process mapping, and I actually asked Ashwini to be on standby in case I was going to invite her to speak on this issue, which I am going to do right now.
All righty.
Can you make that happen for us, Michael?
I think I can. All right, Ashwini, you should be live now.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Sherry.
Hey.
So, I too almost had the same take that you did, Sherry, because the busyness, the process of busyness, is, it sounds like, is the voices that are talking to me no matter what I'm doing. That seems to be what the person who wrote in is calling busyness. Now, obviously, if that's the process being mapped, then the encouragement would be, the encouragement would be to write all of that down on a sticky, because the objective of the process map is not necessarily seeing how the process happens, but what the process is. So the very question that it seems to be like a general process speaks to what you're talking about. The general process is always the voices talking to me. Now, if it happens in every setting, then it's still the process is happening to me. But as the writer in said, you could take a specific content area and just put down the voices in that area for it to be a specific set of voices related to a specific setting. But I would project that perhaps rephrasing the question might be the more interesting thing for the person writing it, because I'm process mapping it to see the process, not necessarily to know how the process happens, because the assumption in that question is somehow that if I know how it happens, it's not going to happen.
Well, that's really interesting. And so what you're suggesting is just one thing after another. First I'm hearing this, then I'm hearing this, then I'm hearing this, then I'm hearing this, then I'm doing this, then I'm feeling this, then I'm thinking this. And so as that sequence goes on, using the conversation itself as the map, is that what you're suggesting?
Yes. So it seems like there's a couple of questions here. One is, if I have a general process of busyness, is it helpful to take a specific place where that shows up and map it? Absolutely. The more specific it is, the more contextual it is, and the less it's being mapped from conditioned mind. The second piece of it is, well, the process of busyness happens no matter what I'm doing. I'm meditating and I'm told I need to do something else. Well, there's a clarity of what you just said, which is those are the voices. That's not a process of busyness. That's just the voice talking to me no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah. Good. And yet, within that, I can still have the elements of, so the voice, I'm trying to do the dishes and the voices are saying that I should be meditating or vice versa. And so I can be watching, well, how do I feel when that happens? Mm-hmm. What's going on with the body? Does it make me anxious? Would I feel sensations in the body that I would label anxious? And what are the thoughts? Then are there, am I being reprimanded for not paying closer mm-hmm. attention? Within that, there would still be all of the elements, right? There's probably somebody who believes that that's true. Somebody else who would get annoyed by the fact that it seems so unfair or unreasonable or whatever it is that's going on with me, I can still get that on a sticky.
Exactly. And look, and even the question about, well, I have a general process of busyness. Does it make sense for me to map it to a specific process? It's part of a process.
Right? So there's stepping back into kind of a larger, that's another, that also goes on a sticky, right? I'm questioning the very process that is, that I'm questioning.
Well, yes, and the point being then, you see that you're always in relationship to that voice in the head, and therefore the solution, within quotes, is to get off the process map, which means to redirect the attention away from whatever I term that process is, whether it's anxiety or busyness or not knowing or questioning or figuring it out or whatever I might call it. Mapping it is only a way for me to see that I'm in relationship with that when I'm in relationship with it. So the next time I'm in relationship with it, the sticky comes to awareness because I've seen it and go, okay, well, now I need to redirect the attention. We don't resolve the issue by understanding how it happens.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it's helpful to understand how it happens, right? Which is the whole point of doing a map. But once what you're saying is there's no resolution to the problem within the content area.
That's right.
Right?
And the way and our how is how suffering happens, not how a process of busyness happens.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I hope this is helpful, and I guess we'll find out once this person listens to this recording and works with it a bit. I hope they'll let us know how it's going. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks for joining us, Ashwini. And Sherry, how about we go to our first caller here?
All right.
All righty. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael and Sherry and Ashwini. Hi, this is SRB in San Francisco. Hi.
Hey, SRB.
Hi. I am calling to show those darn voices who I'm siding with.
Ah.
They're relentless, and they've also been, really bugging me all day long about what I was going to say, and I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to call. I just want to be with practice. I don't want to listen to you. So, there.
And so, SRB, the way you describe that, it sounds as if my image of that is being in a room where somebody has a radio on, right, and I can't turn it off. Yeah.
Yes.
That's sort of how it feels. Yeah.
Yes.
And so whatever you do.
And the doors are locked.
And the doors are locked. And there are no windows. Got it. Yeah. And so it's actually not a possibility to turn it off. Right. Which when I say that, it reminds me very much of chronic pain. Right. So it's not possible to make it go away. Right. In fact, the more we try to make it go away, the worse it is because it's got more attention. Right. And so we have two ways of going at this. Right. Maybe talking about it as pain would be an easier way actually to look at it. And if not, you can tell me, but maybe.
No, this is absolutely amazing. I love that you're framing it this way.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I might ask you why, or that might be unfair. Is there a reason that it strikes you that way or it just strikes you?
Yeah, because it just feels so painful. It feels
okay.
I mean,
okay, got it.
It feels like a chronic, we all know this, right? It's a chronic beating.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a really apt description, and I don't know if I've ever heard you say that, but it really helps me.
Okay, good. So, but let's go with, you know, you have something like fibromyalgia, or you have rheumatoid arthritis, or you have some sort of physical condition where there is pain in the body, and there is, I mean, you can take drugs, right? You could take drugs, right? And I suppose get to a point where either, although you just wouldn't care what the voices are saying, but we're not going in that direction, right? So, so in fact, I'm working with somebody now who just had a hip replacement, and it's not going quite as hoped, and so it's gone from a tremendous amount of pain to a tremendous amount of pain, and there's really, you can't get away from it. That's the point. That's like you're locked in the room with those voices. You can't get away from it. And if you try, again, all that happens is more energy, more attention is going to the pain, and everything is worse. So two directions that we can go. One is you focus so completely on it that there's nothing left over. In other words, you go beyond duality. So we suffer because there's pain and not pain. I'm having pain. I know it's possible not to have pain. I want not to have pain. I have pain. I'm caught. Okay?
Yes.
But if I go so completely into it that I actually transcend duality, then there, I won't experience it as pain, because pain requires someone to be separate from it in order to call it pain. If there's only that sensation and there's no one to label it, we could say there's no one to experience it, then it ceases to be that. Now, this can sound crazy, but there are people who are actually teaching folks how to do this, right? As a pain management technique.
No, this is so amazing. I mean, I have done that with headaches before. Yeah, no,
there you go.
Good.
Yeah, go into it so completely that there isn't anything called a headache. Nobody, and then you can watch yourself come out of it, right? And suddenly it's like, oh God, that's awful. Yeah, okay, good. So then the other is, of course, to have the attention so completely on something else that it accomplishes the same thing. There's nothing left over from the whatever the attention is on, and therefore there's nothing to be maintaining the pain. All right, so it would be possible for a person, you've done it, right? There's this relentless beating, and then you get caught up in something. Okay? Maybe it's as simple as you get a phone call. And in the time that it takes to turn attention to the phone, are you going to answer it or you're not going to answer it, right? You're not aware of the voices or the beatings. Yeah? When you fall asleep, of course, you're not aware of the voices or the beatings. So, which is basically the same process, okay? But there are many, many, many ways throughout the day, examples that we could go to of times when there wasn't split attention, and there wasn't the dualistic orientation. Your attention was on one specific thing, and it wasn't those beatings. And so you weren't aware of those voices, and you weren't aware of the beating. Yeah?
I'm totally listening.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like, go ahead.
So choice one seems more available to you than choice two.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, because for some reason, something has shifted over the past couple of days where everything, like I try to focus on making lists of things I love, I make recordings, I'm listening to shows over and over and over again. I'm making recitations in my head of, you know, I feel like...
And you can feel the dualistic split, right?
Yeah.
And what's what's actually happening, of course, because this is how people think they can multitask, right? That attention can move at such lightning speed that we have no idea that it's going from thing to thing. And so it seems like all these things are happening at once. And they're not. So you're actually, you're trying to focus on a recording, and attention is flashing over to what the voices are doing, right? And because it's something, because it's the voices, and because it's a beating, and because it's painful, the draw for attention is really, really strong. It just is, right? It's compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know, you're trying to read something and there's a conversation happening in the next room, and attention just keeps going to that conversation, right? Because it's much more compelling than what you're reading. Yeah. And so we see that all of these things are happening, right? And so if you're going to take choice one, then what you want to do is be so focused on what the voices are saying that there is nothing left over to react to them. That you hear the words simply as words. Okay? So what's happening now is you hear the word, and then in that same way, attention goes to the meaning.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, rapid fire from the meaning to the stab, right? The sensation in the body when that lands, because you have all this karmic conditioning behind those words, right? You know, if the voice suddenly started speaking Swahili, you would have a completely different relationship with it. It would just be interesting. Mm-hmm. It could be saying exactly the same thing, but you wouldn't relate to it, so you wouldn't care, right? But you're very attuned to those words and those meanings, which is why those words are being used with you. Okay?
You can I just say one thing?
Yeah, please.
Partly why I think that I'm gravitating toward this thing about it being like chronic pain is because one of the things I've been noticing they're doing is they're shortcutting to the feelings.
Uh-huh.
So I've been really noticing, like, and I know you and I have talked about this, that it's like, you know, it feels like panic. It's just big energy, but it feels like my nervous system is going to explode.
Yes, because all of that has meaning. That's right. So first there's movement, then there's sensation. We have a thought about it, an emotional reaction to it, and a conditioned behavior pattern that goes with it. And what you're describing is the first two are so familiar that you can just leapfrog right to the sensations and what they mean, right? Of course they don't mean that. Of course they don't mean that. But we're conditioned to believe they do. And so we have the reaction that goes with that. Yeah. And so you can approach this in two ways, right? So one is, and this would be the one I would suggest, okay? Because it would require so much involvement, all right? What you would be doing is essentially being in conversation with the voices in which you agree with them wholeheartedly. Okay? So the voice comes at you with, I can see that. Uh-huh. And then there's the next, whatever the next line is. I can see how that's true. Yeah. Okay? You get a feel for it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
now,
I've never practiced this, so this is really, really, really great.
Okay. So now, again, remember, in this plane of existence, everything comes in twos, right? This is the world of duality. So that same process is going to try to get you, right? So there you are agreeing, And attention is going to go to another experience, a conditioned experience. Yeah, but what they're saying is, well, that's really awful. Yeah, but how can you be, yeah? And so it's kind of like, well, it's improv or it's improv dancing, right? So it's going to require everything you've got to stay with it. Now, when you do, and then you'll fall out of it, right? You will, okay? That's mm-hmm. just how it works. But when you're with it, what you're going to realize is that all of that energy that has been sucked out of you over this process because you don't want it to be happening, because you feel bad, because you try to avoid it, because you try to get away from it, right? All of that is feeding that system. As soon as you start agreeing with it, the energy is coming back to you. Okay? So every time you say, yes, yes, oh, yeah, oh, I can see that. Yeah. Oh, that's a great point. Now, you never want to think about what the point is. You're just saying,
yeah. Okay.
There you go. That's it. Okay. And every time you say that, the energy is building in you. Because you're not giving it away.
Ooh. Yeah.
You're not fighting. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it is. And I'm so... my God, I'm so grateful because it's like I have practiced like with the headaches, you know, and I know this kind of process of because the, like you're saying, the duality goes away.
That's right.
There's no resistance.
Yeah.
And all I think you're right. Like I think I've just been like, especially because other things aren't working anymore, and so all the resistance is back up so strong, and that's just feeding it.
That's exactly right. And the thing, SRB, so that you don't feel bad, okay? I mean, it has got so many moves. You know that poem about, we think we have 1,000 good moves left. And anyway, never mind. If you don't know that poem, I don't know it well enough to tell you what it is. But anyway... We think that we are somehow equal to what that system is able to do, and we are not. Okay, we're just not. I mean, every time we think we've got something handled, here's something else. Now,
yes,
we could think that that's a bad deal, but if you sports images. If you were a baseball player, and what you wanted, you always wanted a fastball right down the middle, okay? Then you're really good. I mean, you could practically hit a home run every time. But you don't want people throwing curveballs or spitballs or, you know, sinkers or any of these kinds of things because you're not good at that. Well, if you really want to be a baseball player, then you want somebody to throw every kind of pitch at you it's possible to throw. So that you can hit them all. And that's what life is. Yeah. We want to be hit with everything we can possibly be hit with so that we know that we are completely free no matter what.
Oh. And you know what you just did too that's like so important is because the second arrow of this is the, I thought I had it. And what you're doing for me is just like, This is just learning more.
That's right. We never have it. In fact, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Because that voice is just a setup for the next time. I hear, I feel like, this is going really well. And I relax and I stop paying attention. And there comes the arrow. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you're right, though, also, that then it's like a different kind of arrow so that when oh, my gosh, I forgot. Let me do all the things I was doing before. But suddenly they're not hitting the ball anymore.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Let me do all the things I've done in the past for this new moment. No. We got to be in this moment ready for whatever is in this moment.
I'm so glad I got you on the call. I just
Me too.
This is so perfect. I feel so like, I feel so renewed. Like, I've got a new, like, tool. I got a new trick against them.
Good. And the main thing, the main trick that we've got to have is to realize the reason that we can say, oh, yes, okay, thank you, is that it's there to take us beyond the obstacles that are between us and love. And when they can no longer bring up anything in us except a feeling of a desire to choose love instead of whatever else is going on, you know, they're going to be there. They're doing their job.
Well, right. And just the last thing I'll say is that even if I didn't get on the call, putting myself in the queue is still saying to them, I'm choosing love. I'm choosing practice.
That's right. That's
so
exactly right.
Even if I didn't, you know, even if I didn't get this great guidance, it's still making a stand.
That's exactly it.
So, yeah.
Sticking up for
the
human.
I'm super, super grateful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
So welcome.
I can't wait.
All right. Let us know how it goes.
All night long. I will.
Okay. Thanks.
I will. Keep gusho. Thank you.
Gusho.
Thanks for joining us, SRB, and that was masterful, Sherry. Fantastic.
Good. It's fun, huh?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for creativity.
I bet I know where we're going now, huh?
We are going. Good news update. You are spot on.
All right, good.
Four callers after that.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you for a good news update.
Great. Thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sequoia, who is here to speak with us about her experience of the Zen Folks Workshop. Welcome, Sequoia.
Hi, Jen. Thank you for this opportunity.
So So tell us, what was the first one? Let's see, what was it, a couple weeks ago, I think?
Yeah, I think it was a couple weeks ago. I was so happy to speak about this because I have done some cooking in my life. The first reaction from a conditioned point of view might be, I don't need a cooking class. You know,
I know how to cook.
I know how to cook. I may not, you know, I may just skip this one. And I had a commitment to be on in the workshop. So I showed up and I had the best time. I just loved this workshop. I left this workshop with such a smile and such a feeling of being supported. Do you want me to take a breath or shall I continue?
No, go. You can go, get on a roll.
So I was looking at it. What was it that just made this just so enjoyable? And here's some of the things that I saw about it. First of all, just on a practical level, I was going to have to cook a meal for myself. And it was like I was practicing with everyone, and conditioned mind couldn't get in there and tell me I was taking time out of my day. You know, I was participating with everyone. I was doing something I would be doing anyway. And I was in my body. Sometimes when I'm sitting on the calls and I'm sitting still listening, it's easy to start drifting. And I loved this opportunity to be so concrete with practice, to be in my body, to be with people I love, doing something so nourishing and nurturing.
Boy, there's so much in what you're saying, Sequoia, because one of the things I actually hadn't really seen about the workshop, but you're really pointing at it, is that so when this idea was first presented, as we just heard in the announcements, there's another one coming up soon, not this Sunday, but maybe, anyway, coming up, and maybe more later in the year, just who knows, but when the idea was first presented, it's such an interesting idea. And it's not that we have had many at-home working meditation retreats, right, where we do, you know, we're kind of together as Sangha and doing working meditation and then coming back and looking at it. And that people have always loved that because, again, you're in your own environment. You're really getting to practice with your own daily life and you're together as Sangha. But one of the things you're really underscoring, and I think it really points to me about what was so fun also in the workshop, was we were doing it together. Every single part of the task, we were actually in the workshop doing together. We were chopping the onion together all at the same time in the same way with some instruction behind it.
Yes. Just surrounded by Sangha every step of the way. And just being held by practice in the way that we always are. And but it was just a heightened experience of that. Just how the whole workshop was presented and the kindness behind it. And, just enveloped in that, just enveloped in what practice is all about.
Yeah, truly. A very, as you said, I think you used the word concrete, a very concrete way to experience that. And I love that you added the piece of that you've done a lot of cooking and so are going to have the opportunity to be one of the facilitators in this series, right, to lead us through this process. And I love that you added that piece in of how easy the voices could say, like, well, so I don't need this, right? Because I think one of the inspirations for the series was because there are a lot of people who don't know a lot about vegetarian cooking and maybe would love to do that or don't even know a whole lot about cooking in general and so want some support for that. But it's very much my experience, what you pointed out, that even if you do, and maybe even especially if you do, what a beautiful experience it is to let go and be led in that way.
Yes. Yes, it was a workshop that just felt like it just met everyone where they were. Whether you had no experience with cooking or lots of experience with cooking, it just felt like the place to be. I don't know how to say it, but it was just there was no differentiation between us.
I think you said it perfectly, because what I really heard and what you said is because none of us has ever been here in this moment doing this together.
Right.
It hasn't, you know, it's new for all of us, truly. I mean,
truly. Yeah. Yes, and there we were all in this new moment, holding hands and making something so delicious. In fact, the thing we made, I've eaten in the past a number of times, but it was an entirely different burger that day.
Yeah, that was my experience too. Yeah. And it's what people used to say all the time at the monastery, right, Sequoia? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I mean, this is absolutely the best food I've ever eaten in my entire life.
Yes.
Which, okay, granted, there were a lot of good recipes at the monastery. No,
right.
Hands down. And a lot of care and attention that went into that cooking. But, you know, the level of presence that people are bringing to it that they're not used to bringing to eating, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely, absolutely. you know, yeah, it's not what, it's how.
Mm-hmm. yes, exactly so. And that the whole process was part of it, that we can then potentially bring that forward in our lives, because, as you said, this is something we're all doing every single day, multiple times a day. And for a lot of us, it becomes a, oh, geez, you know, what am I going to eat, right? But the whole, you know, there was the given the recipe before, the ingredients, so there was that piece of it, purchasing the ingredients. Then there's the prepping the ingredients, there's the cooking the ingredients, there's the tips of how other ways you could do this, other ways you could, you know, adapt this recipe,
different ways
you could have it, different times you could have it. And then the process of cleaning, we did the cleaning up together. Every piece of it was part of the process, and having all of that in practice.
Absolutely. And no one is left hanging at any moment. There was always an opportunity. If you had a question, you could just ask it. You know, you didn't have to end the day with a no burger because you couldn't ask somebody what to do next.
Right, because you got left way back at chopping the onion without the...
Right, exactly. And just the detail about, you know, the attention to detail. And I just can't say enough about it. And I would just invite everyone to participate. There's no one that this isn't the perfect workshop for.
Well said. And I can't wait for the others. Yeah, really excited for the series.
Yeah. Me too. I am very excited.
Yeah. All right, Sequoia. Well, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Thanks, Jen.
All right. Gotcha. So happy. Gotcha. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Sequoia. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. That was fun.
It was super fun. And, you know, the thing that I appreciated that the point that was made that I hadn't really seen before or thought about, probably never would have thought about if one of them hadn't just said it, and that is there's almost nothing that we do as a Sangha absolutely together. You know, I mean, we've done a lot of working meditation, a lot of, you know, sitting meditation, a lot of workshops and that sort of thing. But to be involved in something where this whole group of people are doing exactly the same thing at exactly the same time, I hadn't realized what a big part of the specialness of that workshop that was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my experience.
Yeah. Yes. It was good.
Wow.
And you get good food at the end of it, which is, again, you know, I mean, and even, you know, doing working meditation in the monastery kitchen, you know, everybody's in there cooking together, but everybody isn't doing the same thing. Everybody isn't, it's not that shared experience that this workshop was.
Yes.
Anyway,
yeah,
I loved exactly. it. Loved it. Great. Can't wait for the next one.
Yes, me too. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, yes, this is Dawn.
Hey, Dawn.
Hi, how are you, Sherry?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was encouraged to call in as to get ideas on how to work with my little scattered brain that's very distracted with, you know, ADHD. My mom's been telling me forever. But I am doing the commitment buddies thing and, mm-hmm. you know, timing, you know, it's just everything in life. So this has always been an issue. Signing up for this was a big step for me because I know I have these challenges of remembering, even if I have an alarm, even if I have two alarms, even if I have, it's my brain will change and I'm forgotten what I was doing.
Can I just stop you right there for a little mm-hmm. a little? You're describing every human being I've ever known.
Okay.
Right. So as you know, I'm really old, and so I lived a long time before people discovered ADHD. A long time. I was alive before depression was something that people understood, if you can imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I just watch how now every kid on the, well, in this country, I don't know about other countries, mm-hmm. every kid has ADHD.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. ADHD. And needs to be medicated and needs to, you know. So my take on this always has been we are all pretty much exactly alike. The differences are way smaller than the similarities.
Right.
And the secret to the whole thing is awareness practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will put my diagnoses up against anybody's.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And have watched over the years how practice actually alters the entire system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we need not despair.
Mm-hmm.
We just, or even take it seriously. Right?
Right.
We just need to start doing what turns it around.
Mm-hmm.
Which
mm-hmm.
you must be doing, or we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, I am doing things, and I do believe that the distraction is all those voices telling me to do something else, and that's what it is. I mean, it
exactly
100%.
Exactly. Yes. Precisely. Yeah. Very good. And
mine is
the difference, Dawn.
Yeah.
The difference is that there are so many people who have no idea that they're listening to voices in their head.
Right.
They have no idea. And
right.
if you don't know that, talk about a rough road to hoe.
Yes.
Yeah?
And it is so I'm thinking though that I don't want this Apple Watch on my arm to like beep really loud and tell me, because I set my phone down so I'm not hearing the alarms. Even if I hear the alarm though, this is the extent. I pick up the phone to call my husband, I forget I've called my husband. If I haven't put it on speaker immediately, I forget that I've called him.
Well, what I would say to you, which could sound disrespectful, and I don't mean it that way at all.
No.
You need
no.
to learn to pay attention.
Yeah, yes,
yeah?
I do.
So, yes, and that's all that's going on. You're not here. Right?
I'm
so
not
you don't
here.
Know what you don't know what you're doing because you're not here to know it.
Right.
But that's not terminal. That's really actually quite easy to fix.
Is it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And one of the big secrets to it is to get out of the conversation about what a problem it is. Because mm-hmm. that conversation, every time I say, you know, I'm so distracted, or my scattered brain does this, or, you know, I just can't track anything, or I have no idea. I back in the 70s, I think it was, their affirmations got really popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would stand in front of the mm-hmm. mirror and say all of these things. Well, that's basically what you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we say those things, we are affirming them. We are
mm-hmm.
making them real for us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to do that, right? So
mm-hmm.
we don't want to focus on all the things that I forget or all the things that I'm not doing. We want to focus mm-hmm. on being here, being present, knowing what we're doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's practice.
Mm-hmm.
And those alarms, of course, that you know that we set in
right.
in practice,
mm-hmm.
they are here to help us get here. Everything that we do, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. practice everywhere tweets and, you know,
mm-hmm.
all of the things that we do are
mm-hmm.
designed to help us be here and to know that we're here. And to
mm-hmm.
develop what is the equivalent of a habit
right.
of being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those practice things, and they also show me, you know, when I pick up my phone and I see it, I'll do the thing. And I need to do it immediately because otherwise, you know, it's a second by second thing. So, but I don't always have it with me. So trying to meet the 4 o'clock. So I have the problem hearing and still not doing it. But then I also, which is an attention thing, but there's just having the phone with me.
It's also you don't have to have the alarms. You know, back in the day before we had all of this, we would do things like every time you see the color red, you know, you spend your day looking for the color red. And every time you see the color red, you come back to the breath. One breath. You don't have to stay there for hours, but you're training yourself. You're training yourself to be here, right? Mm-hmm. You can put a little, you can get a ring. Right? Get a ring and put it on a different finger. And every time you feel it or you see it, it reminds you to come back to the breath, come back to the present. Come back here, look around, see what you see, go on about your life. And increasingly, you know, every time you see a particular kind of tree, every time you see a particular kind of car, every time you, right? Every time an email comes in, every time, whatever, you're training yourself to let that signal me to come back here, come back here, come back here. It's a habit.
Mm-hmm. And the here is about where my body physically is.
That's right. And find out, look down, see where your feet are.
Mm-hmm.
Take a breath.
Yes, get out of my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look around. Yeah, and it as we were talking about, I guess it was in the previous conversation, during that time, you're not attending to the voices. And increasingly, you will be able to experience what we talk about as the space between the thoughts. You'll begin to realize that there are gaps where you're listening to the bird, or you're looking at the flower, or the sky, or the whatever it is, your feet, and you're not actually attending to what the voices in the head are saying.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know it's possible.
Yeah.
Now you're on the scent, right?
I have those days where I'm just really in that, when I can do whatever and I'm free to do it. And I just had a great success with cleaning. So where I enjoyed it instead of it being this suffering thing.
Yeah.
So that was
there
awesome.
You go. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have recording and listening, right? So you had that experience, so you can record about it. What you loved about it, what your experience of that was, how much you enjoyed it. Okay.
Yeah.
And increasingly you're filling your day with activities that are about here, this here now, and not attending to the voices in the head.
Mm-hmm. And trying to get back to the commitment by 5 o'clock is so hard for if the person hasn't sent me a text and I did one earlier, you know, they're sending me their commitment. It's easy for me to do gosho, but if they immediately, if I have my phone, but then if they don't and I have done the other thing earlier, you know, or set an alarm for 5 o'clock. It's just really, I have a super hard time making that happen. Like,
well, then take that on. Mm-hmm. Take that on. So for the next week, that's going to be your focus. That's the thing you're going to do. You're going to set an alarm. If you need to set an alarm for 5 o'clock, set one for 4:45 as
well.
Oh,
I always do that. I set multiples. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And then you do it. And of course, what you're watching is how you get talked out of it, how you get distracted, how you get right. And increasingly, you're going to realize that the only way you can know how you get distracted is that you're watching the distraction happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're actually not distracted. You're watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Very good. All right.
Thank you.
Let us know. Okay. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Sherry. Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Dawn. And Sherry, let me find our next caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Karen from North Carolina.
Hey, Karen.
I was walking to the stove to fix myself a plate, and I thought, I think I'm going to be unmuted.
Intuition.
Well, and then I turned off my earpiece. This morning, I am just so grateful, and that I have no words to describe the brilliance, and I'll own the projection, I guess, of the work that we're doing, and all of the sangha, all of the brilliance.
It's breathtaking, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
It's breathtaking, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have no words for it. I forget about the Tuesday shows, and then Bruce comes in and says, "Hey, weren't you going to listen to the show?" I said, "Oh yeah, right." So you know, I get on it, and then the first call, I'm just so gobsmacked by the conversation and the guidance, and it just keeps on and on,
and we're so happy we're practitioners, aren't we?
We are. We're so happy. And, and conditioning's really after me right now because I'm, you know, it thinks, oh, you just sound like such an idiot, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, projection never lets us down, right? So that system is projecting from its idiocy onto
its
you.
Idiocy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Anyway, here we are.
Yeah. All right.
Just,
well, is that it?
Yes, that's it.
Was
thank
there more?
You so much. I'm just in love. I'm in love with life and practice, and there's not another place that I would rather be.
Oh, I hear you. I'm right there. And you know, in terms of practice and everything we've been talking about this evening and everywhere else, you know, when we have that orientation to life, when it's not dualistic, when I am in love, so there I am, I'm in love. If I can be in love regardless of content, regardless of circumstances, regardless of what the voices are saying or what's happening in the world or anything else, if I choose love, if love is what I want to be focused on, if I realize it's what I am, and the only way that I can live from that is if I give my attention to it. And if I do that, then again, it doesn't matter what's happening. It really doesn't matter, because anything and everything can be embraced in love. And we have that ability. And that's what makes this work of dealing with the voices in the head so important and so powerful. Because if we can bring love when that's going on, if we can stay in love, even when negative, hateful, mean, vicious voices want us to feel bad, want to beat us up, if we can still choose to be the love that we are, there we are.
There we are. Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. And that's
what
we're choosing. That's what we're choosing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
You
so much.
Are so very welcome.
All righty. Gosho. Good night.
Good night, Karen. Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And that was fabulous, Sherry. I really appreciated that.
Good. Good. I'm glad. I'm very
love
glad.
Love is. Love is. I am love. You are love. Everything is love.
Everything is love. It's just how it is. It's
mm-hmm.
just how it is, and we need to recognize it and remember it and have it and be it and enjoy it and love it.
Yes, and thank goodness we can remind ourselves so frequently to each other.
mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you for being there to reflect for us week after week after week, reflecting that
My
love.
Pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.